What if losing was actually winning? What if less was actually more? What if your renewal started with removal?
Bada bing, bada boom. Come on, who's excited to be in church today? Amen. And everybody outside said amen. Just kidding. But seriously, I think before we even move into the message today, I have to speak on something really quick. In worship just now, I felt like the Lord wanted to say to everyone watching today, everybody watching online, everybody watching under the cool of the pop-up outside, you're going to see a victory. You are going to see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and the only thing that you need to do is trust in Him. I have a feeling that many of us are going through certain specific battles right now, that you may be facing something very just destructive in your soul. Your soul is broken up. You're going through something. To be honest, I'm feeling it too. Right now in this world, there is a lot of darkness, but let me just tell you this right now, the battle belongs to the Lord, and He takes what the enemy meant for evil and He turns it for good. If you believe that with me, say amen, because He wants to do something amazing in your life, and He wants to start today. He wants to start today. He's not gonna wait till next week. Did you hear me? I said He's not waiting for next week. He's not waiting for the next doctor's report. He's not waiting for the next governor's report. He's not waiting. He's going to start right now. But let me just tell you, ball's in your court. It takes us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. Oh, man, that worship team, come on. Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of God today. I just believe that that song list was anointed. That song list was anointed. That was special for us. That was special for me. And I believe that He is speaking to all of us today about that word right there. He's going to give us a victory. He's going to give us a victory. Even if the world looks like it's falling apart, He's going to give us a victory. But I do actually have a message I planned for you today. And my question to you to open up this message is this. Have you ever heard of the game Desert Island? If you've heard of the game Desert Island, come on, give me a hand on Facebook. Put that hand emoji up there. If you're on Facebook, if you're outside, come on, look to the person next to you. If you've ever heard of Desert Island, you know the one. You're on Desert Island, and you can take three things with you. What would they be, right? Desert Island, that's the game. But what I believe is that we're actually playing that game. We're playing it every single day, but we're not playing it with things. We're playing with people. We're playing it with people. What do I mean? Well, I'm going to talk all about that pretty soon, okay? First, let me introduce myself to anybody who doesn't know me yet online or outside. Please stick around long enough after the service. I'm like looking through this wall right here because I can see you. I see you guys. I see you. But let me just tell you this. If you haven't met me before, my wife Tiffany and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. And wherever you're at, give it up for yourselves because you're amazing. You're the body of Christ. Come on, you are amazing. Give it up for your own selves. Give yourself some credit, okay? Something I had to learn along the way too is give yourself some credit. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. You know that? You're the body of Christ. Give yourself some credit. This hurting world right now needs you. Needs you. I was telling the team this before we got started today. The church is needed, arguably more than any time in our lifetime. The church is needed. The hands and feet of Christ are needed because there's so many people hurting out there. There's so many people depressed out there. There's so many people anxious. We're needed, everybody. And so when I say give it up for yourselves, I'm not just saying that, okay? I know I got a certain way about talking. And it might seem like I'm just playing around, having fun, and I am. I am having fun. But let me tell you this. I'm dead serious when I say that. Give it up for yourselves. Because you, the body of Christ, with His power, you are amazing. Our mission here at this church is to be a lifeline. It's to be a lifeline. It's in the name. Be a lifeline by leading people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus. Now, before we dive even further in, I can't really move forward without telling you three things that you need to be doing during this season. We're in a season right now. I don't know if you noticed, but things are a little different right now. And there's three things that every single one of us really need to be doing. Thing number one, I didn't put them on slides or anything. You just got to listen to me. Thing number one is pray. Thing number one you got to be doing, you got to pray like never before right now. Pray like your life and the people who you love, their life depends on it. Man, it's time to pray like never before right now. Thing number one, if you can do nothing else, you can pray. So pray. Thing number two is be a lifeline. I touched on it already. You're the body of Christ. Here's what it looks like. If you're able, take out a few extra 20s out of the ATM and keep your eyes open. Who can you bless? You don't know how a $20 bill, who's on the face of a $20 bill? I don't even know. Does anybody know? Y'all are so not worldly. You don't even know who's on the face of a $20 bill? I don't. Is it Franklin? Jackson. Is it Jax? Thank you. I don't even know. Take out one of those 20s, dang it. It's green. It's got a 20 on it. You don't even know how that little gesture could change someone's whole perspective. When you're at the grocery store, when you're at the fast food place, going through the drive-thru, and say, hey, pay for the people behind me and tell them Jesus loves them. That kind of stuff right now, everybody, you have no idea what that could mean for somebody. Because people are suffering so badly. This is what we need. This is what we need to be doing. Be a lifeline. So number one, pray. Number two, be a lifeline. And thing number three is this. Give through your church. Maybe some of you are thinking, well, I'd love to be a lifeline, but I'm just not sure how. That little way is great, but we don't give to a church. We give through a church. That's how we talk about it around here. You don't give to a church, you give through a church because the church is able to bless the community in ways that us as individuals never would be able to. And that's the way God set it up. That's the way God set it up, is that we together can accomplish infinitely more together than we ever could separate. Amen, everybody? Amen. So let's continue this series called Living on Purpose. Living on Purpose, where we're learning that renewal actually starts with removal of some things that we don't need in our life. Your renewal starts with removal. That's what this series is really all about. And I thought about it through the lens of what Jesus said in Mark 8. If you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. If you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life, if you let go of some things, if you finally let go, Jesus is saying, of the things that are holding you back from serving me with your whole heart, you are going to gain your whole life, a whole life that you never knew was waiting for you and you never knew existed. You will save it for my sake and for the sake of the good news. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your very own soul? I think of Scrooge McDuck. You know what I'm saying? Come on, who remembers Scrooge McDuck, right? He's sitting on his coin pile. They don't even make money like that anymore, but he's got his mansion and he's got like that room. Am I the only one who remembers this, man? He's got that room, and he dives off the diving board into his pile of money. It's hilarious now that I think about it as an adult. I'm like, don't jump. You're going to hurt yourself. But he just goes right into the money. A lot of us think, man, if I could just bundle up some things, if I could just get my career in order, if I could just get, you know, if I could just win the lottery, or, man, if I just find the right person who's going to complete me. No. Jesus is saying, full life with me comes from letting go, not grasping. Comes from letting go, not grasping. Last week we talked about a digital detox. Man, if you missed that, I encourage you, everybody online and anybody in attendance today, if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back and watch it, because we are being inundated in a digital world with Facebook and online and YouTube, and it's surrounding us. And what we really need as followers of Christ, but really, even if you're not following Christ yet, let's say you're just on the verge of that, you're just tuning in, you're thinking about it, you will benefit. This will benefit anyone who decides to take a digital detox, but I'm not going to preach that message all over again. Go ahead and go check it out from last week. Next week, Pastor Tiffany is going to be bringing us the word, and she's going to be talking to us about renewing our mind. Because there's some things in our mind that definitely need to be removed. And our renewal starts with removal of some things that are right up here. What does the word say? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. Your mind. So Tiffany's going to talk about that. But this week, Desert Island, this week, we're going to talk about relationships. How are you going to, Pastor, how are you going to make that work with less is more? How are you going to make that work with renewal starts with removal in the context of relationships? Well, let me just tell you, it works. It totally does. Because you might need to lose some. No amens? That's cool. No amens needed. I know. You don't have to confirm to me because I know how this works. Let me just tell you how I know. Some of you know this about me. I used to be a severe drug addict. And I say it that way because some people look at me and like I've told them before, but they can't get past this. You know, I got a button-down shirt on. My hair's done, and they just are like, oh, you used to do drugs? Sort of. Okay, cool. No, I'm saying I used to be that guy. Really bad. See you on the street. I take my kids on the other sidewalk. Broken. Really bad. And I went to a drug program, and while I was in that drug program, one of the most significant things that happened while I was there was, number one, I gave my heart to Jesus and never looked back. That's number one. But thing number two was they shipped me about 100 miles away from my home. Great. I had a son from my home who was only 2 years old. And one of the most significant things that happened to me was I realized somewhere deep inside that I needed to let go of my old life so that I could start a new one. I knew that if I did all the things that people were telling me to do, oh, you can go reconcile with your family. You can go reconcile. So my oldest son is 16 years old. So this is a long time ago. But you can go reconcile with his mom. But as I was getting clean and as the Lord was filling me and as he was starting to give me his wisdom, I knew that if I did that, if I went back, I would not make it. I would not live. I would not survive it because I needed to let go. That whole, like a 50-mile radius, I can't go there. I can't even go there. It was too much. So I learned, so this message comes from a very deep place inside of me, knowing that there are relationships, even though everyone's going to tell you, oh, you gotta protect this one or that one, and you ought to go do this and got to do that. There are some things you need to let go in order to thrive with Jesus, and it takes trust. It takes trust. This is all throughout the Bible. I'm not just making this stuff up. I'm not making this up. I got a couple examples for you. How about Abram? Before he was called Abraham, he was called Abram. And he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and take his family with him. And let me just tell you that it's only a couple verses, but it probably wasn't as simple as we think it was. He had to leave his whole network, all of his friends, and only took his immediate family with him. And he also took a family member named Lot with him. And later on, we see that Lot, he had to run out of the city he was living, the city of Sodom, and he ran, and his wife was running, and she was trying to look back to those old relationships, the old way of living, and she turned back and you got to read it. You got to read the story to know. And then there's a guy named Samuel. A guy named Samuel, a prophet, left his whole family from birth. All right? Case closed. But he anointed someone named Saul, who became a king, and Saul had to leave his whole family in order to walk in the promise that God put on him. It was actually, I'm not going to preach on that right now, but it was actually a bad thing for them because Israel was saying, no, God, we don't want you as our king. We want a man as a king. So Saul came in and did that. And then later, Samuel anointed a guy named David that many of you have probably heard of, King David. And guess what? Shortly after he was anointed, guess what he did? He slayed Goliath and went to live with the king and served the king, left his family. We read these things and we don't realize how hard it must have been to leave these relationships behind. Now, before I'm going to get here, but I'm not telling you to leave your family, okay? I've got more examples, okay? And then later, David, he becomes king. And he has to leave Saul. Before that, he has to leave Saul because that relationship turns toxic. And Saul's trying to kill him and throwing spears at him, so he has to run away. And so he has to leave that, and later he becomes king. And then his son, Absalom, okay, if you've ever read this narrative, his son, Absalom, goes crazy wild and kicks David out. And David almost loses his life and his kingdom because he refused to let go of what his adult son was obviously gone crazy, walked away from the Lord. But David, if you read that story, David had such a hard time leaving a relationship that he so obviously needed to leave. How many more examples do I have? I don't need any more, but Jesus told everybody basically to leave everybody. Jesus said, man, you're going to leave. You're going to have to leave your mother. You're going to have to leave your father. You're going to have to leave your family. You're going to have to leave everything. It comes from Mark. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. Now, some of you might be thinking, what about loving your neighbor? I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Yes, you are supposed to love your neighbor. But what I'm here to tell you today is that there's a big difference between loving your neighbor and choosing your relationships wisely. There's a big difference there, and a lot of people don't know the difference. That's why a lot of people get themselves in hot water saying, well, I'm supposed to love everybody, right? Yeah, right. But that doesn't mean you need to be their friend. That doesn't mean you need to go live there. That doesn't mean you need to go back there. You can love them from a distance, okay? It's in the Bible. You're good to go. I want to introduce you to three areas. These three relationships are going to be key. And some of you might think as I go on, man, can't we be talking about something more relevant, you know, than these three relationships? Well, let me just tell you, people are more isolated now than they've ever been in my lifetime. People are isolated. So you safeguarding the correct relationships and blocking the wrong relationships is of significant importance for today, for right now, and could be exactly the breakthrough that I was talking about earlier. The first category I want to talk to you about in the big three, that's actually the message of this, or the title of this message is the big three. And the first of the big three is mentors. A mentor is someone who's pouring into you. Who is pouring into your life? Proverbs 13 says it this way, Proverbs 13, 20. Walk with the wise and become wise. Say it out loud with me. Walk with the wise and become wise. But associate with fools and get in trouble. What the book of Proverbs is saying, what Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, is saying to us is that we need to be walking in step with the right people. That we should be following in the footsteps of, who does he say? The wise. Chances are, and I'm being sarcastic, chances are you want to do something in life. Chances are you want to accomplish something greater. Maybe you want to be, you know, a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife. Maybe you want to be a business person. Maybe you want to go into the military. Maybe you want to become a pastor. Maybe you want to do something in ministry. You have something that you'd like to do or something you'd like to be better at. The Bible is showing us that we need to find people who are wise in that area and walk with them. And that's something we, as mentees, need to pursue. We should be pursuing those relationships with mentors. And just so you know, I have mentors in all the areas I just shared with you. I have mentors who are pastors. I have mentors who are husbands. I have mentors who are fathers. And I seek them out for mentoring in those areas, all those areas and more. This is something, like I said, this is something deep inside of me. This is a very personal message from me, and it's something that I want to see live in the culture of this church. The next category is this, mentees. Now, talk about a word nobody uses ever, right? Good job, Elliot. Way to like, who are you talking to? Mentees? Nobody says that, but let's change that. A mentee is someone who is doing that, who is under the care. And you should have people in your life that are like that. Mentees, who in your life are you pouring into? This one gets neglected for sure. For sure. Why? Because everybody thinks they don't have anything to offer. But what does the Bible have to say? 2 Timothy 2:2. You have heard me teach these things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. That's a key phrase. That's why I underlined it. Trustworthy people. Trustworthy people. These are the people that we're looking for. It's trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You, I'm talking to all y'all. This is you all, not just you. Not just you. Just kidding. Nobody's in here. not just you, but you all, everybody, everybody listening online, everybody sitting outside, all of you. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're a business owner. I don't care if you're a homemaker. You have something to offer that somebody else wants to grow in. You absolutely do. In my recovery background, they say if you've got one day clean, then there's somebody out there with 0 days clean that could be looking up to you. If you've got 1 week, there's somebody with only 1 day. Now that translates to us as believers. Like maybe you're, I don't have very much to offer people. You know, I'm going through this struggle. I'm going through that struggle. I still deal with this. So we disqualify ourselves. I'm going to undisqualify you. You've been undisqualified. I just did it, okay? Where's a sword at? I dub thee able to speak into the life of another person. To speak into the life of another person. Now, when I have mentors, and so that makes me a mentee. Now, some of us might be thinking, oh, I need a mentee. That means I need to like float up to them and be like, oh, poor unfortunate foolish one. I'm going to bestow unto you all of my great wisdom, for you are my mentee. No, not at all. In fact, if you saw me with my mentors, you would say, oh, Elliot's friends with that person. We look like friends. The difference is this. I initiated that friendship. And I treat that friendship with the utmost care, and I bring my questions to them, and I make sure to honor their, it's the mentee's job. So for you, that's why he's saying find trustworthy people, people who want what you have to offer, because it can be destructive if we just take on people. Have you ever met anybody who said, oh, they're a really good person, I'm gonna fix him? You ever heard anybody say that? I'm gonna fix her. No. That's not what you're gonna do. That's not what you're gonna do. No, their bad company is gonna corrupt. I've got it right here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company, say it with me, corrupts. Say it again louder. Corrupts good character. You will not have the influence on them. They will have the influence on you. Now, I've been in this boat. I've taken people on, and it's a bummer. You know, and Jesus did too. And sometimes you have to. You ever heard of Judas? You know, it had to happen. And sometimes it works out that way. But you know what? Choose wisely. Choose wisely who you let into that. Okay? The last category is this. Friends. Friends. We've talked about mentors and mentees. That's all very business class, Elliot. Why don't we get on to something that's a little bit fun? Okay. Friends. Friends is where there's a mutual pouring back and forth. These are the people who give you rest. These are the people you can let your hair down around. These are the people who hear you fart. These are the people. Oh, man, I'm just thinking I'm so funny sometimes. These are the people that you gut laugh with. These are the people where you just laugh. These are the people who give you rest. Do you have any? Yeah, Pastor, hold on. Let me look. I got 913 of them. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because our culture has corrupted the word. Our culture has corrupted the word friend to where that's what we do. Hold on, let me look and see how many friends I have. Oh, it's 913. Really? Do you have 913 people who you let your hair down around? Do you have 913 people that you can actually be yourself around with no fear? That you can truly rest around? No. And let me tell you this. You don't need that many. You don't need that many. Man, if you could count them on one hand, I'd say you're good to go. But you better put at least one finger up and say, I got this many, at least. Because this, if you're honest with yourself, I believe some of us have neglected this area too. We got a lot of acquaintances, but not a lot of friends. Man, this is something that I deal with too. I mean, I'm a pastor, you know, I'm up here, you know, and It's sometimes it's hard to like find out where the line is and do that. I have to work extra hard, but I don't think I'm unique in that. I think we're all there. We all have roles and positions and things that we show up to work, and so we think our coworkers are all our friends, but they're not. But they're nice, but that doesn't make them your friend. When I was visiting Europe, we went a couple years ago and stayed in Germany, and the pastors there, the people there, they were very reluctant to use the word friend. They were very reluctant. And us Americans, we were like, what's the big deal? Hey, man, you're my friend. And they're like, we just met. And like, we're staying at their house. They're pastoring a church. They're like, where we would just flippantly give that title away, they do not. It's not always like the way we experience it. And you know what? There's some truth to that. But whatever you call it, we need people in our lives who are safe, who we would do anything for, and they would do anything for us, and we get true rest from them. Proverbs 12, 26 says, the righteous choose their friends. Say choose. Choose. Say it nice and long. Choose. Have you been choosing your friends, or have you been letting your friends choose you? I'm serious about that. A lot of people just inherit friends, you know, and we just think, it's no big deal. You know, I'm just anybody who's around, proximity means friend. No, it doesn't. Proximity means wear a face covering. No, I'm just kidding. That's stupid. Stupid joke. Okay. Proximity doesn't mean anything like that. Proximity just means they're near you. A friend means they're near your heart. They're near your heart. But culture has corrupted this term, and so we need to choose well. There's my takeaway statement, and this applies to all the categories right here, and this is something that should help you remember, and it's derived from 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, if you show me your company, I'll show you your character. If you show me your company, show me who your mentors are. And if there are none, that shows me something. Show me who you're pouring your life to, your life into. Who's your mentees? Because that'll show me what your character is. Show me who your friends are. The statement that I heard first went like this. If you show me your friends, I'll show you your future, which applies. You know, some pastor came up with that. I don't even know which one. It's a great statement. It makes sense. It works. But I wanted to try and broaden that because there's something big about this idea. Show me your company. Who are you keeping company with? A lot of times we don't even think about it. We don't even think about the TV that we're watching. We don't even think about the movies that we're watching. And we certainly don't think about who I'm choosing to spend my time with. Because you may not think you're choosing, but you are. We're all playing Desert Island every single day, whether you realize it or not. Your life is an island. Who are you letting in? I brought this, some of you may have seen this. I brought some of my daughter's toys. This is a small fraction of my daughter's dolls. And actually, some of my sons got in here. Like, who is this supposed to be? Ken? I'm not sure. Ken looked different when I was growing up. I don't know who this is. This guy is in Frozen 2. Recognize this guy? If you have kids, you know this guy and know his first name, right? I don't know it. I have kids, but I don't know it, so maybe I'm wrong. Now, here's a Barbie who's a nurse. Here's the girl in the Haunted Forest or whatever it's called. Lots of Frozen 2 going on. We've got and a lot of us treat our lives like this. Just whoever shows up, these are the people who are going to be influencing me. These are the people who are pouring into me. And we've got a couple good choices, like Anna. Look at that hair, all right? That Anna is a person I would keep in my life. She's like a little feisty, but very honest. I would choose Anna. Let me choose. Karen Barbie. Is that what her name is? Karen Barbie? No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke for nobody right there. How about this guy, Daniel Tiger? Come on, I'm talking to some parents here today, some young parents. Daniel Tiger. Oh, man, I could just start singing a song. I'm going to choose him. I like him. He's a kind-hearted tiger. All right, so I'm going to choose him. What if we treated our lives less like a toddler? I need all of this. And when I was trying to leave today, you better believe it was a fight. When I was trying to come to church today with this bucket, it was a fight not only with the kids, but with my wife too. She's like, if you take that, there's going to be hell to pay, and it ain't you who's going to be hearing about it. It's going to be mom who's going to be hearing about it. But what if we could treat our lives and the people in it? Who is this? Mermaid Barbie? Man, you got a streak in your hair? Get your life together. Out. All right? This is Daniel Tiger. This is Daniel Tiger's mom. She's so nice. I want her. We need to treat our lives a little more selectively and not like children. I'm going to bring this home a little bit. Kids are great at really just accepting people. So let's bring it back to real life. you know, we have neighbors and they have kids my kids' age, and they're friends, and that's good. I'm not saying you're young kids, so to kind of push back on that a little bit. I'm not saying your young kids have to, like, well, I don't know, how well do you read? No, my mommy wouldn't want me hanging around with you. You don't need to do that. I'm speaking primarily to older adolescents, so 16, 17, 18, and adults. You're an adult. Make a choice. Who am I deciding to keep in my life? Who am I deciding? Like, when I became an adult after I got clean and saved, I was 21 years old. And according to the Bible, I was just listening to a message about this. We become adults at 20 in the Bible. There's a lot of examples for that. I'm not going to preach on it right now. But that's kind of the biblical age of adulthood. So they get married in adolescence, basically, in the middle of that. And so I became an adult around that same time, 21. And that's when I had to choose. You know what? Just because I used to be friends with him doesn't mean I need to go back and show him how my life is better now. No, bad company corrupts good character, and I don't need that. I started to choose. Nope. Nope. No Karen Barbie. Nope. This cowboy girl. Nope. Nope. I don't need that. No, I'm actually going to say no girls, actually, for the first few years. I'm just no girls in my box there. I became an adult. I had to choose. I had to choose. And that's what I'm asking you to do too. That's what this message is all about. Realize that there are some important relationships in your life that you possibly have not been very careful about choosing who's taking that role. Today that changes. Today you're going to choose. Today you're going to begin to look critically at these relationships. And that's my application for you, is these big three. Number one, who is pouring into me? And just do yourself a favor, write it down. You know, I actually take notes from every time I meet with my mentors. I actually take literal digital notes. I use OneNote, Microsoft, whoop, whoop. I kind of like it. Apple can just go over there, all right? Microsoft all day. Don't shake your head at me. The production booth is like Apple all day. No, I don't need that. I take notes though. I ask specific questions. And let me tell you, I choose special care, and I retire some people when they need to be retired, as of having that kind of voice in my life. And I inherit new people. I adopt new people. And I go after them. More on that in a second. So who's pouring into me? The application for you is, what exactly do I want to know from this person? And are they the right choice? Because remember, the wise walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. Are they a wise father? Are they a wise husband? Are they a wise business person? Do I have anybody filling that role? And more on how to get after that in a second. Number two is this: who am I pouring into? And I would venture to say that almost none of us could put a name in that category. But I want you to change that. Who am I pouring into? Now, to do this, this is what I want you to do, because you have skills and talents and abilities in different areas. Some of you are business people, musicians. Some of you are just good at different things that I don't even know about. Doesn't matter. Are you around and available? So if you're a musician, for example, do you go to the music store and just spend a little time there so that younger musicians can see you, can maybe ask you? If you're a business person, do you go to business mixers and just make yourself available? If you are a mother that has been a mother for a few years, are you going to life groups where other mothers are so that you can be there for them? Because having mentees is making yourself available. Every single person who's a mentor to me has made themselves available. They were at a conference, or they just were somewhere where I was able to ask them. Put yourselves in positions where people can ask you, hey, what do you do? When your daughter does this, what do you do? Oh, you know, I tried this, I tried that. And you can begin to start that relationship, just making yourself available. Who am I pouring into? Put a name on that list, everybody. I want this to be a part of our culture here, that we're together with humility, but we're pouring into each other's lives in a humble way. Not like, you know what, I'm going to teach you a thing or two. Yeah, I'm going to be the self-proclaimed prophet in your life. I've had people come and like, I want to be your counselor. I'm like, I'm good, bro. If I need a counselor, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to, like, some people try and, you know, put that title, but no, you choose. You choose. Who do you want to have that voice in your life? Is there fruit in their life that you want to have? And then lastly is this, who are my real friends? I want you to take inventory on these three categories. Who are my mentors? Who are the people I'm speaking into? Mentees, dumb word. I know, I couldn't think of a better one. And who are my friends? Who are the people I can be real around? Are they safe? Or when I share things with them, do they share them with others? Or do I feel like I need to reserve myself around them? Are they my real friends? And is that their fault or is it mine? Take inventory of these three categories. Because again, show me your company and I'll show you your character. Show me your company and I will show you your character. We need to pay special attention to who you're keeping company with. This is very serious to me because I remember the moment where I told you about my salvation story and how I had to do this in the Salvation Army, but I almost didn't realize it was happening. I got a little older and I started to move into ministry. And I remember it was probably 3 months after Tiff and I became pastors. And we were at an under 40s conference. Our movement actually has those, which I'm really excited about and I'm still pretty close with, because it's a special category of us. There's not very many of us, which is sad. We should change that . There should be younger people that are coming up. But anyways, we went to this under 40s conference and there was somebody there. And it was like, he was just telling his story. And it was like God did, you know, the light thing, and it like, and it shined on them. I don't know how to explain it, but I was very nervous, very insecure. You know, I'd never pastored a church before. It's not like I had experience I was bringing to the table. I was young, you know, 27 years old. And just, I knew I needed help. That's all I knew I needed. And so I got this guy's number and I called him a few weeks after the conference. And I called him up and I just, no one told me to do this. I just did it. And I said, hey man, is it okay if I shadow you for a couple days? I'm just really new at this whole pastoring thing. I really like what I see going on in your life. I like what I see going on in your church and ministry. Is it okay? And you know what he said? He said, yeah, I'll make my son sleep in the living room. You can stay with me. I'm like, dang, you crazy. But that, what I want to tell you about that is I went to that man's house, stayed in his room. It's hard to explain, but the next morning when I woke up, and I went out and I saw him and his wife praying at like 6 a.m. together. It changed my life. It changed my whole life. And I knew that this man was gonna have a voice in my life, and he still does. He lives in Fresno, his name's Anthony Flores. And when I met him, his church was like 200 people, man, they were thrilled. Now their church is like 1,500 people. They've never stopped growing. And I never forget the picture of him and his wife in the quiet place together, praying together, seeking God together. And it changed me. It changed me from the inside, where I knew from that moment on, I could choose the people I wanted to be influenced by. I could change the people that I wanted to become more like. And trust me, I wanted to become more like that. And I bet you do too. I bet you do too. You want to become more close to God. And the company that you're choosing to keep has everything to do with it. Don't let this message pass you by without taking inventory and saying, you know what? Man, I want to get better in my walk with Jesus. I want to get better in every area of my life. And I'm willing to change some things in my relationships in order to get there. And you know, there is someone who's accomplished infinitely more than all of us ever could. And there is someone who's made himself available to every single one of us in a very intimate way. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And he calls himself more than a mentor of ours, which he is. He pours into our life, but he calls us more than that. He calls us friends. That we can be friends with God. What does that mean? It means I can let my hair down around him. It means I can be myself around him. It means I don't have to be insecure around him. It means I don't have to be caught up with what my prayers might sound like to him. It means I can be a little indecent around him. It means I can just be myself around him. He is there for us. He's there for you. He wants to be there for you. He wants to be in your inner circle. He wants to be the primary. And it's time for some of us that maybe we should start going beyond friend with God, and going beyond, oh yeah, he's my mentor, he teaches me. He's more than a friend, because he's more than someone we can just be ourselves around. He's more than a mentor, because he's more than someone we just get advice from. He's Lord. He's Lord. And I think that's a step that some of us might be ready to take, might need to take. Let me be blunt with you. Some of us need to take that step today, because you've been friends or acquaintances with Jesus for a little bit too long. And you've been getting good advice from Jesus, and that's good. But it's time to take a more serious step and say, you know what? I'm making him my Lord. And I want to give my life to him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together. Everybody online, if it's possible, everybody outside, let's bow our heads and close our eyes in reverence to our one true Lord. As my daughter calls him, the one true God. The one true God. Lord, you are the one true God. And Lord, we just repent if we put anybody else in that place. If we've put our hope in money, Lord, we repent. We turn around from that. Money is not our Lord. But we turn, if we put any of these other relationships in the place of Lord, Lord, we repent of that now. If we've made politics our Lord, if we've made being right our Lord, Lord, we repent from all of that today. You're our Lord. You are the one true God. And if we put our trust in you, if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding of what we think works, but depend on your word, you will direct our path. You will show us the way to go. If there's anyone here, if there is anyone among us that would say, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life, more than a friend, more than a mentor, but to say, you're my Lord, you're my Savior. If that's you today, I want you just to lift your hand up. Chances are I can't even see you. Doesn't matter. This is for you. So, because God will see you, just go ahead and lift it up right now and say, God, you are my Lord. If you're online, put that hand so that it can be seen. And say, I'm making Jesus Lord, and I'm not afraid who knows it. I'm not afraid who sees it. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Okay, and if that's you, let's just say it together. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Father, I pray over everyone who made that statement today. And it's more than a little prayer. Lord, it's a declaration that we make. Not just with words, but with deed. To say, there's no one that takes your place, God. There's no one that stands in your place. You alone are Lord. You are the one true God. And with childlike faith, I come to you. Say, teach me, show me, guide me, love me. Show me how to love. Show me where to go. Show me what to say. I will depend on you alone because you are my Lord.
Let's pray this together. If you made that decision today, just right where you're at, online, all over the world, maybe outside, say, Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross in my place. That's what I deserved. But you sent your Son, Jesus, to die in my place. I accept your Son, Jesus, as Lord of my life, here and now, today and forevermore. You are the one true God. Fill me with your Spirit and show me the path to take. Amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's celebrate everything that's going on in this church, in this place, and in the lives of people. Come on, let's get some clap hands online. And and outside. And if you're online, man, come on, celebrate online. All right, do something. Man, this is important. If this is how we're going to do church for a little while, I'm encouraging you, everybody. Man, put those clap hands, put the extra energy it is to put down whatever, and let's engage together. There's people who gave their life to Jesus. Show them some love, everybody watching online, amen. Now, couple next steps for you. Because if you gave your life to Jesus today, there's next steps for you. We love next steps, and there's always a next step we can be taking no matter where you're at in your journey. Number one is you can give. Number one is you can give. We usually start with that because we would pass baskets and stuff, but that ain't happening. I just haven't adjusted it yet, all right? But like I said before, you're giving through a church. You're not just giving to a church. And we say, just ask God. Like, we know 10% is a biblical standard. We know all that. But some of you may be new at that and maybe trying to grow in that. And so I'm saying, pray to God. He'll tell you. He'll show you. And you're not just giving to a church. Know this, you're giving through a church, and through your generosity and through giving in these different ways. If you're watching online, they're right below me. You are making an impact in your community. You are actively impacting your community. We're planning outreaches. We're planning ways we can bless people. And it's through your giving that that's possible. And I'm so grateful to be part of such a generous church. You guys have remained so generous during this time. I'm really glad about that. The ways to give are, it's right below me, but I gotta read it. There's a link in the description. You could text the amount. There's a donate button on Facebook. There's online, and you can mail it to 500 Park Street. Thank you so much for that. Next step number two is life groups. Man, this is important right now. Arguably, one of the most important things you could do right now in life is jump on our website or hit the link in the description that helps you sign up for a life group. There's groups for men, women, mothers, prayer groups, there's like whatever. Like, just get one. You got to be around people right now because you need these three categories filled. You got to have people speaking into your life. You got to have people that are looking for you because you have something to offer too. And you need friends. Life is better together. Matter of fact, everything's better together. everything. There's growth track, and next step you can take is growth track to join the team. There are still things that you can do. Basically, we have three teams now. Technology, outreach, and pastoral care. Not a whole lot of need for greeters at church right now and ushers moving chairs around, but trust me, there's a lot of ministry going on every day of the week now. And so don't be shy. Man, jump on that link. We're doing growth track anytime, anywhere. We're doing it via Zoom. So you can join the team and you can get on this force that we call Lifeline Church. Man, we're an army moving out in rank to impact this community. It's our calling. And don't forget to be a lifeline. No matter who you are, where you are, where you're from, man, get those 20s out of the bank. Do anything. Think of any way. Even sharing this message online. You never know who might just watch this and say, yeah, I give my life to Jesus. There have been people giving their life to Jesus on our online services. And their whole family tree is going to change now. Their kids are going to be blessed. Their kids' kids are going to be blessed. You never know what one share can do. So come on, let's just, if that's as small as it is, just sharing the message, if that's as small as it could be, then do that. But think of other ways to be a lifeline, because that's who we are. If you're able, watching online or standing outside, let's all stand to our feet today. I want to pray a blessing over you. Come on now, let's go. I'm gonna pray this blessing over you in the name of Jesus. I pray over the area of relationships, finances, and health. Lord, we know that you are God and you are good. You are God and you are good. We love you, Lord. God bless you. We bless you in this place and we thank you for powerful worship, that for our worship is rising up to you. But I pray blessings in the name of Jesus over every single person here. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.